You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour two of Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Dave DiNatale and for Nathan Zagura and Jason Gibbs. Nathan's back on Monday. Gibbs is not. Gibbs is back on Tuesday. Matt Wilhelm here. Eric Williams is our producer. And speaking of Easy E, as we do every Friday on Cleveland Browns Daily, it is time for the Friday forecast.
Number four.
All right, we're going to start with number four. Okay. I normally start with number one, but I hit number four. So we're going to start with
Number four. That's fine.
All right, so we're going to play with the Cavs game a little bit tonight. So if cleared, how many points will Kevin Love score tonight?
17-9 is, I think, the contribution that Kevin Love will give. Because whether he starts or comes off the bench, I think that Kevin Love has something to prove.
Yes.
You know, and that's a value to his teammates. That's a value to the fan base. That's a value nationally.
Yes.
That he's not soft and that he can play a role for this team. And I actually think you might see, as we saw in spurts when I would watch the Cavs, the high effort Kevin Love. That's something that here and there can leave and come back. I hope you can see it tonight.
It was interesting. You know, of all people who came to his defense yesterday, Andrew Bogut.
I saw that.
Who had a concussion, saying, look, anybody who thinks he's soft is ridiculous. Kevin Love, to answer your question, Easy, will have, if he's cleared and plays, will have 12 points, 7 rebounds. Better than pedestrian effort coming off the bench.
Sure.
I can roll with that.
Yeah.
Number three.
All right, number three, call your shot. Who wins tonight, guys?
Cavs win tonight. I think it will not be a blowout, but I do, and I think it'll be a single-digit win, and that number will be closer to 10 than it is to 1.
Cavs will win tonight to tie the series, and it's going to really up the ante on everything here.
And I think that throws a monkey wrench in the Warriors.
Absolutely,
and their dream year.
Oh yeah, So the Cavs will turn the tables, win again tonight. They'll win by 11. So I'm kind of where Matt is, a little bit higher than 10. Cavs will win. I'll even give you a score. 103-92. Cavs win tonight.
That is 11 points.
That's 11 points. I know. It's asking a lot of me, you know, to try to do math on the fly. You know this.
I was hoping that it would be like a 9-point difference there. I was really hoping for it.
You know me too well. Number two.
All right, so with Nathan Zagura not being here, I wanted to know, what's your favorite thing about Nathan Zagura?
It's something that I love and something that I kind of like, it pushes my buttons, but you have to love it because it's what makes him who he is the fact that he always thinks he's right. Or he pushes the things that he likes on you. The jalapeno margarita, you know.
He's very persuasive. Yes.
It's his way or the highway.
It is.
And that's why I just kind of like say nothing and push my chair away. It's not worth the fight for me.
I have to tell you, you know, people always say, you know, I have a lot of useless information in my head and you know, I can sit and you know, if we're at a bar and want to do trivia, I'm pretty good to have
on my
team.
He's the guy to have on your team. Okay.
Nathan. I mean, the facts and info that he has at his fingertips is ridiculous. I mean, telling you how many targets, I mean, you know, such and such guy
I've had. Never seen someone function on a tablet, you know, like on Twitter. It's like he's got the windows all open all at the same time. Yeah. And it's like you can ask him something and then, you know, expound on it slightly and he'll have the answer to your question. Yeah. Like for me, it's like I gotta pull up Google.
Right.
I gotta type in the proper thing, and then I gotta find the right. Yeah, it's like bam, it's there.
Yeah, he's amazing like that.
He's
just able to, you know, come up with stuff, you know, whether it's in his head or he Googles it.
That's right.
He's able to come up with it. I mean, he could be Pro Football Focus, to be honest.
I'm glad. I'm sure he appreciates all your guys' kind words there.
Sure.
Yeah. No.
He's not listening.
Yeah, he's not listening.
And finally.
Number one.
All right, so Jason Gibbs has his wedding tomorrow, and
yes.
We will all be attending. So what will you guys be drinking? What will be your drink of choice tomorrow for his wedding?
Well, since it's on the house.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. The summer so far has been a kind of a beer summer for me.
Me too.
So So it all depends what he has flowing from a beer standpoint. But if it's not beer, which is a keg beer, I'm easy.
Yeah.
I'm a tap guy.
Yeah.
It would be a vodka soda, Tito's vodka preferably.
Yeah, it's, they're powering us at Wild Eagle Saloon this
week.
Are
they? Tito's are my guys.
Yeah,
they're the best.
Yeah,
Tito's. Gluten-free.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Hammer was telling
Moscow
me.
Moscow Mules.
Yeah. Hammer was telling me he's all about the Tito's vodka. Yeah, they're taking care of us at Wild Eagle Saloon.
I don't drink
Saloon
it because of Hammer.
I didn't think so, but
no.
But it's another endorsement. It's multiple endorsements for Tito's.
Does he actually drink that one?
Yes.
Because I know it's like he's not allergic to
no,
whatever's
he's not
in
aller-
it.
No, he's okay. not allergic to it.
Gotcha.
He can actually... He can consume it, and it's safe.
Got it.
Yeah. Now, my case, I'm with you a lot of times. I'll go with the beer. You know, I it's summer. It's good. But if Gibbs has a good gin, like, you know, I always like a little Tanqueray myself. Yeah. But
it all depends also on the line at the bar.
True that.
If I got to wait for a drink and that those multiple kegs are just sitting there,
yeah.
I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
I'm going to go drink.
Yeah. But if you know, if it's just like okay, you know the line at the bar is long, and I can just get a beer quickly.
Yes.
Okay, I'll just do.
Well,
the
how
beer.
About you, E?
Yeah.
First of all, call your shot for tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Cavs win.
You have a score?
I'll say by 12.
Okay.
I say they win 100-88.
And your drink of choice?
I like you guys. I'm pretty easy to please. I like to go beer, but for weddings, I like to go Captain Morgan with some Sprite.
Okay.
That's my drink of choice. I can have a good time.
Weddings only.
Weddings only, though. That's
weddings only.
Okay. You know, so if you're watching the World's Game, you know, if you're watching the Europe Cup or whatever's going on.
The Euros 2016
the Euro
or the
2016.
Copa America, yes.
Yeah. Do you not do Captain and Sprite then?
No, I'll go beer. I'll just go strictly beer. If I'm just casually watching a game, I'll go beer.
What wedding? About open bar at a wedding? I mean, like a pay bar. Would you still get the Captain Morgan?
Yeah, cash bar.
Sometimes if I'm feeling I want to get loose, I'll go Captain Morgan.
All right.
But other times, not so much.
Correct.
Okay. That's fair.
You're going to see a rare form of me tomorrow. Just get ready.
Oh, I know. You're calling.
I expect
you're,
rare
you're
form from Gibbs,
your,
too.
You're calling your shot on that already.
Oh, yeah.
And I text Gibbs. I took a screenshot of the weather maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday
yeah.
of the weather predicted for Saturday. And
yeah.
I go, Gibbs, like, what, like, WTF?
Like, if it rains, what's going to happen?
What's going to go on? And he's just like, it's all going to be covered, might be muggy, the drinks will be flowing, so I don't care. And then I text him again yesterday, another screenshot of the weather, how it's changed.
Yes.
No rain, hot and nice.
Yeah.
And he's just like, don't jinx me.
Yeah. Don't, I live in Cleveland. Don't jinx me. Yeah, I've you know, knowing Gibbs for 21 years, at occasions like this, yeah, he will be in rare form tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sure about it. I'm sure.
I can't wait. Chip on Twitter calls his shot. He says, Cavs win. With Draymond Green getting a flagrant suspension for Game 5.
That would be spectacular.
I'm telling you, there's no way in the world that will happen.
How about the LeBron on Draymond? I like that changeup in Game 3.
It's one of the benefits, I think, of not having Love in the lineup to start the game. You know, he doesn't have to guard Draymond necessarily. You put Thompson on Bogut, if it's Bogut, and then you stick LeBron on Draymond.
And I think just in, you know, Gibbs producing our show and his conversations going into this series or even after games one and game two is that the Warriors don't want Kevin Love to play.
Yes.
Because our success, you know, with different matchups with Tristan, with now Richard Jefferson, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, we can play them very well, that they feel like when they get Kevin Love on the court defensively, he's a full-on liability. And if you haven't noticed, and I know it's been pointed out many times, I'm not the first, but it's like a lot of the you know, drop guys in different coverages and so on and so forth, and rotations, easy dunks, easy layups when Kevin Love in the game.
When we come back here on the show, I want to bring up the what Chip said in his tweet about Draymond and a flagrant suspension. I wonder if we're heading into some chippy play tonight after the Timo Mozgov screen.
I hope so.
On Klay Thompson.
Good.
So we'll bring that up coming up next. Your calls 216-578-0850 on Twitter at Browns_daily. You can also tweet me at Dino Cleveland. It is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Browns Daily rolling on here on this Friday afternoon. Dave DiNatale in for Zagura and Gibbs. And Matt Wilhelm here. It's where their Galleria Studios in downtown Cleveland. Eric Williams is our producer. Cavaliers, meantime, while the Browns are now off for now, it's really the off season. Now 7 weeks of inaction before training camp gets started. The Cavs, of course, have game number 4 of the NBA Finals tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Quick reminder: we've got ESPN Cleveland NBA Countdown to get you ready for the show for the game tonight, 7 o'clock from the Wild Eagle Saloon, and we're powered by Tito's Vodka.
Tito's are my guys. I got on. They invited me down over down to the memorial because they have a they rent one of the houses on the course and entertain and I love those guys because you know Tito's is a kind of a new brand to the table, you know, with Grey Goose and Kettle One and Absolute and so on and so forth. And the coolest thing is like their territory managers. You know, when I ask him like, oh, so what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, when you come in town for these big events, and he goes, customer conversion, which means he sits at the bar drinking a Tito's next to someone who's not and gets them to drink Tito's just like him. So I was like,
job.
Wow, what a great job.
My goodness.
Yeah. So I love Tito's, and the people from Tito's are always very good to me and, you know, send me a case to the house, and so that anybody that comes to my house, they get converted to Tito's just like me.
Customer conversion. That sounds like a job for Eric Williams. To sit at a bar and convert people to, you know.
If Gibbs has Tito's tomorrow night, I'm going to be doing some customer conversion. At his wedding.
I'm pretty sure he does. Okay. I'm pretty sure he does.
I will not be drinking it on the rocks, though.
On Twitter, at Hyder_Chris, who do you think will throw up first at the Mr. and Mrs. Gibbs wedding? Congrats to the new couple. Welcome to the Married and Proud Club. I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. Maybe we'll put a Twitter poll tomorrow when we see how much everybody's drinking. Who will? No, we won't.
I'm going to go with Gibbs.
That's a pretty, because everybody's going to be throwing beverages his way.
Yes.
Shots.
Yes.
Drinks.
Without a doubt.
And he can't say no.
And I mean, and the thing is, big trees fall hard, you know?
Yes.
I know that hard lesson I hope he has an opportunity to say like, hit the pause button. Like, I need a TV timeout every once in a while. You know what I mean? Because, like, when I get going and I know it's going to be a long night, it's like I'll go 2 or 3 drinks. I'll have to interject a water. Because that water gives me at least 10 or 15 minutes without a drink in my hand and kind of counteracting the dehydration with a little hydration. So,
plus
the sun and the heat.
Yeah.
It might get crazy.
Yeah, you're going to have to go, like, you know, maybe 3 drinks and then drink some water.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that it also could go, like, super, like, college dorm room, college campus. Like, because with kegs comes keg stands.
Yes.
You know, and when you're halfway in and, you know, you have the mentality that I do of a child and, you know, of college life, you want to go keg stand. Like, get, like, you have one leg, I'll have the other.
Yes.
E, you'll kind of, like, guide the waist of Gibbs, and we'll tip him upside down, and he'll do a cake stand for his wedding. I think this is the start of a great day.
Oh, I'm all about guiding the waist. That's
you have to understand the people that will be there. Gibbs can't say no when they tell him to drink. Gibbs cannot say no. It's their offers he cannot refuse.
Right, and it's like you and I are both big guys.
Yes,
we've got the guidance.
Yeah, we
like,
got the guidance.
Cake stand.
You know. Maybe we'll get Fontana to help us out,
Fontana,
too.
Fontana,
perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Fontana will be the trigger man.
There you go. I love this.
We'll put Fontana on the waist, and E will be the trigger man.
There you
go. I'm a much better trigger man, for sure.
I'll bring my funnel.
Yes. Now, will there be, you know, there are going to be hijinks tomorrow night at the Gibbs wedding. Will there be hijinks tonight at Quicken Loans Arena during the course of Game 4 when the Cavs play the Warriors? Now, I bring this up because, you know, after Game 3, Klay Thompson complained about the hard screen that Timo Mozgov gave him. And said, "Well, they're not really used to getting screened in the lane. You know, such a hard pick in the lane
with two guys running full go.
It may have been kind of dirty." I'm wondering if battle line, if based on that, based on Draymond Green using the word "punked" like 20 times during the course of his last press conference, I just wonder at some point if things are going to get chippy to the point where the tweeter Chip mentioned a flagrant tonight.
I wouldn't I could see that, but that being said, if you look at the makeup of the Warriors, they are not a physical team. Now, Draymond is their leader, and he can play physical.
Yes.
He has the attitude, but Steph and Klay are finesse type of players. So if they want to play that physical game, and that's something that you and I discussed in the break, that we haven't seen LeBron have to sit because of fouls.
No.
Kyrie have to sit because of fouls. JR have to sit because of fouls. Kevin Love have to sit because of fouls. So, but we have had to see, because of the matchups that fall into our favor with different picks, you know, up at the top of the paint, with Steph Curry's had to sit out with fouls.
Right.
Klay has had to sit out with fouls, and so on and so forth. And I think that if we can do that and get these guys in foul trouble, that is, again, something, a negative mark in their mentality that starts to create some doubt.
Right.
When it changes them up and things aren't running really hot for them, it will allow the Cavs to create their own little, to have the ball in their court and create their own little run. And so, but we do know Draymond's one tech away.
I was going to say, that's why my answer to Chip was, there's no way Draymond's going to get suspended. I would be shocked. It would have to be something so egregious that the league would have no choice.
Sure.
Anything that's borderline, because I just can't see the league helping to possibly decide the outcome of the finals by suspending Draymond Green for a game.
But if we come out with the energy that we did in game three,
mm-hmm.
If we get up early, and I think if we have a Mozgov type of play, which means an offensive foul or a blocking call that was a little bit blatant.
Yeah.
Draymond is the one guy that is a shoo-in for retaliation.
Always.
Meaning, I've got to be the guy that hacks LeBron, that, you know, the kicks you in the you-know-what, whether intentional or not. He's the only guy that I think you'll get a reaction out of, because Curry and Klay are so mild.
They're so
Harrison
mild.
Harrison Barnes is so mild.
Yes.
You get a little of emotion out of Iguodala.
Yeah.
You get none out of Barbosa. You get a little out of Bogut, but that's really it.
If it happens to be that Maurice Spates is on the floor at that time, or Festus Ezeli, maybe. Maybe.
But Draymond is, and we saw it, and I think, you know, Jeff Van Gundy highlighted it, you know, his tirade on the bench mid-third quarter, down by 20.
Mm-hmm.
And just, that's the Draymond that we want to pull out, because he's not efficient on the court,
mm-hmm.
scoring 5 points, you know, going, what, two of 12, whatever
he
was.
Right.
So if he's not as efficient on the court, his emotions start coming into play. Can we spark that emotion early and take him out of the game?
Yeah.
Because Draymond, confident making shots, the attitude gets big, the flexing of the muscles, you know. Whereas when they're not falling and you've got a little bit of adversity in your face, and Steph's not hitting, Klay's not hitting, I'm not hitting, well, who's hitting? And then you get a reaction to something that happens on a hard foul by one of the Cavaliers. Draymond's the guy that can react, and Draymond's the guy that has the most to lose.
Yeah, he's in a zero tolerance
one and
mode.
Done.
Yeah, one and done. We'll just see if it happens. I just wonder if we're reaching to that point where, you know, there's so much pressure on the Warriors that they might go into that
and
tonight.
And to your point,
you don't see that, but from a lot of those players, I just wonder if they're in that kind of mode
but
tonight.
But to your point, though, as you said, you wouldn't want the referees calling that technical to have, you know, a way to control the finals.
Right.
But you can't not call it if it's deserving of a technical.
Indeed.
You know what I mean? Whether it's the initial, the initial foul or the initial action or the reaction, it's a judgment call to say technical or not.
Right.
So I hope that these referees or the NBA doesn't come in with this preconceived notion that they're so aware that he is one away that they're going to give him a little leeway on what's a tech and what's not. It is or it's not.
That's my fear.
To me, that's very
fear.
Black and white.
That's my fear.
Can't honestly live in the gray area.
That's my fear. It hasn't. We haven't had to worry about it the first three games.
Right.
Green's been on his best behavior.
He's got a little chippy every once in a while where I think like a little, you know, an outburst is coming.
Yes.
If things don't go well for the Warriors.
He's like, it's like a volcano. He can't help but erupt.
No.
You know, Rasheed Wallace used to be like that with the Pistons and the Trailblazers when he played.
I remember that.
He used to be like that. I just wonder if Draymond Green is one slight away from erupting. That would be good for the Cavs.
It would.
Because if Chip is right and Draymond would get suspended for game five, I wouldn't
cry. And that changes everything.
At all.
Yeah, what lineup are the Warriors going to go with back home?
Iguodala would have to start then.
Right.
That would change everything.
It would change everything.
Whew. keep an eye on that tonight, amongst other things. All right. Next up on Browns Daily after the break, veteran assistant Al Saunders. He's always a pleasure to talk to. We'll hear from him as the Browns wrap up mandatory minicamp. What does Al Saunders think about his young core of wide receivers for the Browns as they make their way now from minicamp heading into training camp 7 weeks from now? We hear from Al Saunders next. It's Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. I'm Dave DiNatale and for Nathan Zagura. Nathan's back on Monday. As the Browns wrapped up mandatory minicamp yesterday, had a chance to hear from several of the Browns' assistants, including wide receivers coach, always a fun guy to hear from, senior offensive assistant Al Saunders. He spent time with the media.
The group is so young, you know, how might it be possible that you can have a respectable group out there with so many young guys running around?
Well, if they continue to make the improvement that they made since they've been here, we're looking forward to a group of very energetic and very capable players. You know, these guys work hard. They've had great careers in college, and those that have been here for a year have made market improvement on a daily basis. So I think what they've learned so far in this OTA session and these mini camps is what we expect of them in terms of their energy and their effort and in the classroom and on the field, and we made some great strides. And now we go to phase two, which is the training camp, and we play real football at that time, so we'll see how they've progressed. But I'm excited about this group. They're great kids.
Where have you thought of Coleman so far?
Pardon me?
Corey Coleman. What do you think?
Corey is what we thought he was. He's a talented football player. He's got great speed. He's got some great route running ability. He just has had very limited background, you know, in his college days. And, you know, that's what we're here for, is to make sure that he learns on a progressive basis and gets better and better. And I've been really pleased with his attitude and really pleased with his effort. And I think the Cleveland fans are going to be excited to see him when he gets up to speed in every phase of the game. And we're looking forward to that also.
With Terrell Pryor, he seemed like such a project last year, making that switch from quarterback. A year into it, do you think he can be effective and contribute when we get to the season?
Well, the season is yet to come here, but I know one thing, he's improved by leaps and bounds. It's really hard, you know, that transition from the quarterback position to a wide receiver position in a physical environment is so different. You know, he's been asked to do things that he's never really been asked to do before, and he's got to make a lot of ground up in that way, but every day he gets better. He does something that really gives me room for optimism that he has a future at that position, and we're really excited about him. He's dedicated to himself in the classroom, and you know, his work ethic is better and better and better. His efficiency is better and better and better, and you know, I look forward to getting him in training camp and see where we can go from there. No, but done a nice job.
Excuse me for interrupting, but follow
on. My wife does it all the time, and we've been married for 43 years, so we're good.
Mine never does. How distinctive is his package of size and talent?
Well, you know, when you've got a guy that size and you've got a guy that can run vertically with that speed, it's something to work with. You know, what we've got to get Terrell to be able to do, and he's doing a better job of it, is the ability to change direction at full speed. And that's always harder for someone who is so much higher cut, you know. So the thing that I learned a long time ago from a coach by the name of Don Coryell was never ask players to do what they can't do and put them in positions to do what they can do. And one of the things we've learned here over a period of time is how to maximize the talents of the players that we have and put them in a position where they can succeed. And so that's what we'll do with Terrell as training camp comes upon us, and same with all those other guys, you know, is get them in a position where they can do good things. And he can go vertically. You saw him at the end there running down the field, running by somebody. It's a big target in the red zone. You know, tall and strong and fast are good qualities to have.
Coach, how exciting is it for you to be part of a staff with Hugh Jackson as the head coach again? Obviously, you know, we know you guys have history.
Yeah, I've worked with Hugh in Baltimore, and I was his offensive coordinator in Oakland, and I believe in Hugh Jackson. You know, I would like nothing better, and the reason that I came here was to help Hugh succeed. I've worked for some great coaches in the National Football League, and I started with Don Coryell, and I worked for Marty Schottenheimer for 10 years, and worked for Joe Gibbs, and worked for Dick Vermeil, and worked for John Harbaugh, and in college it was John McKay and Johnny Majors, and you know, I've learned a lot from those guys, and I've learned one thing: the qualities of a great head football coach, and Hugh has many of those qualities, and I really feel I feel thankful that Hugh felt from a personal and a professional standpoint, that I would be a guy that could help him get where he wants to go. And that's my desire, is to help the city achieve what Marty Schottenheimer said was the greatest feeling he ever had in coaching, was to take Cleveland to two AFC championship games. And said the people in Cleveland were phenomenal. And he says, you will love living there. And all of those things thus far have been great. You know, so I have a lot of respect for Hugh as a football coach, and I have a lot of love for him as a man. Hopefully I'll be able to do something that'll help him achieve greatness.
You have to go. We got time for about one more.
Okay.
You've got a very young core. You know, I think Andrew Hawkins might be the most experienced, you know, receiver of the bunch. What type of challenges does that present you when you're dealing with inexperience?
Well, you can't teach experience. You know, you can't teach that. But hopefully, my 35 years in the National Football League and coaching some of the great players that I've been really privileged to coach in that position, some of the experiences I've had with them hopefully will benefit those younger players. The thing you always get with younger players usually is enthusiasm. The other thing is you have to teach them everything. You have to teach them how to practice, how to study, you know, how to learn, you know, how to come from day to day to day and accelerate their abilities on the field, both physically, mentally, and emotionally. And that's a challenge. You know, I have children, I have grandchildren, and those kids, those young men to me are like my children. I love them all. And I have nothing but joy when I come out here on the football field and somebody get a little bit better at something that they couldn't do the day before. So it's probably more fun for me than it is for them. But I'm excited to work with this young group. It's always fun to have young players.
Coach, I've never seen anyone run around as a coach like the way you do and as much as you do. Is that just a concerted effort to bring energy? What's your philosophy and your style?
It's kind of just the way I am. You know, I love this game. I love being on the field. I love the relationships with the players, and I love, the energy that the field provides. John McKay, when I was a graduate assistant at the University of Southern California, told me if you can't bring energy and enthusiasm to the field in the building, you probably don't belong on the field in the building. And he says when guys are running up the field, when they're coming back to huddle, that's a time to coach them. And I just always believe that, and I just enjoy it. I enjoy when somebody does something well. I mean, that's a part of me out there. And, you've got a vested interest in helping them get better. It's like a geometry teacher. I've got a master's degree in education from Stanford, and one thing I've always learned is those students that are looking at you in that class, you want them to get A's. You don't want them to get B's or C's or D's. And it's my responsibility to make sure every student that I have, you know, they're wearing pads, get A's. And when a guy gets an A on a quiz or a test, I'm really excited for him. And so they bring the energy out in me, I think, because of how hard they work and what we're trying to do.
So. Man, do I wish I would have had Al Saunders as my geometry teacher?
I just wish, and it's, you know, better late than never, that you have the opportunity to have this guy in your life in some capacity, in some way.
Yeah.
Just a great man, a great teacher, and brings the history both about the game and proven success with other guys. And I've kind of talked about the culture with Hugh Jackson and via free agency. If Cleveland can, I don't want to say fix, because it's a process, and I'll say the P word. If Cleveland can take a big step from 16 to 17, next year's free agency period, guys like Al Saunders and the production out of that room, when many are counting on very little and it's, you know, good or massive amounts of production, don't be surprised if the culture that Hugh Jackson creates and the culture that he's creating based around his staff becomes somewhere people want to come play.
Boy, for a room of young receivers, and thinking of, you know, Coleman and Higgins and Peyton and Lewis and all these kids and guys like Taylor Gabriel, what a great mentor for them to really, you know, get their careers off to the right kind of start and help make them into professionals.
Yeah, it really is. And I think even for the guys that won't potentially make
this roster,
maybe there is a vet, maybe there is a rookie, maybe there's an undrafted free agent or unsigned free agent this past offseason. I think all of them will take from what Al Saunders has given them and apply it somewhere. Mm-hmm. These guys aren't going to be out of the league, you know, and they're going to take, you know, they're going to judge their next coach by the way they were coached by Al Saunders, and that can only be a really good thing.
Couple of questions on Twitter here before we get to a break. For actually a comment from Chris Hyder. Wow. A coach putting players in a position to win. Someone who gets it. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. It's hard not to, when you get fired up when you hear Al Saunders talk. It's, as we said earlier, it's just a very, very personality that makes you want to follow.
It is. And I mean, for those of you who don't, you know what our dog bowl looks like, it's almost like a triangular glass room. Okay, and we have an opportunity to see everyone passing by, players, coaches, management, employees, so on and so forth. And every time Al Saunders comes by, he has some, you know, we have some eye contact. Sometimes it's just a wave if he has an agenda. But there's other times, and Nathan even talked about it on the air. It's like he walked over to the big, you know, panorama of First Energy Stadium, and he walked up, you know, and he like points to the energy in First Energy, and he's like, come on, bring it. You know, and this is just a, you know, it's like, 127 on a Wednesday, yeah. You know, with him doing some type of maybe making copies for a playbook. Yeah. You don't know what
he's trying to fire you up.
But he's trying to fire us up because he's fired up, and that's what he brings to the practice field. And that's why, again, I would say vehemently, show up to training camp and see and feel the difference. These guys are being coached, they're being developed, they're letting nothing slip through the cracks so that when all the stars align, which I don't necessarily believe is this year. We'll take a big step and another big step to seeing a team that you're proud of each and every Sunday, not just a few speckling of times throughout that 16-game season.
Also on Twitter from Keith Miller, and we'll get to more of your questions in the final segment in the mailbag. Keith Miller at KMan343 asking about Cody Kessler. Could he be the next Russell Wilson, a third-round pick who turns around a franchise without anybody possibly seeing it?
If I had to say so, and this is no knock against Cody, it's definitely not this year. I don't expect the way Russell Wilson went in and beat out Matt Flynn in training camp. And there were a lot of pieces there in Seattle.
Yeah, you have to remember,
the
Russell,
table was kind of set.
As a rookie, he had Marshawn Lynch, and he had
a great defense.
A great defense.
And the Legion of Boom. Mm-hmm. I mean, and playing in Seattle, which I would say our fan base rivals their fan base as best in the NFL. So I don't think so. And it's just, and I've said it time and time again, RG3 is our swing at the plate this year.
Yep.
That's our Jared Goff. That's our Carson Wentz. But in this case, we're getting a guy that has succeeded at the NFL level, been humbled by a fall from grace, and now locking arms with Hugh Jackson, Pep Hamilton, Al Saunders, and this group here in Cleveland, Sashi Brown, to be the potential future face of our franchise. Whereas Cody Kessler, I would say maybe like the likes of Philip Rivers sitting a year behind, you know, Drew Brees and learning the game. Aaron Rodgers behind Brett Favre. And I know these are legendary quarterbacks.
Right.
But you get my point. A vet that's got to go out and prove what it takes to make it and to win football games in our division and in this league. And then secondly, it's something that I continue to reiterate. Any quarterback, and I'm talking even Connor Shaw, the same way that I said a wide receiver who won't make this roster just being around Al Saunders and going somewhere else will have been impacted by being coached by Al Saunders. Yep. I think the same can be said by any quarterback that we have on our roster. So Connor Shaw and Austin Davis, who at this point right now haven't done anything wrong.
No.
They're just not good enough to make this football team as we sit right now.
It's a numbers game.
They will be impacted by the coaching and just being around Hugh Jackson as the quarterback guru, as an amazing offensive mind. They will learn something from him that they will take forward wherever it is they land. And that's what I love about this.
One more segment to go on Cleveland Browns Daily. Again, we'll get to more of your questions on Twitter, @Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. It is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Dean Italian and Wilhelm with you, along with our producer, Eric Williams, as we count down here to the start of tonight's Game 4, the Cavaliers and the Warriors. Going to be going at it at the queue. They'll tip it off at 9. Remember, ESPN Cleveland NBA Countdown will get you ready for the game starting at 7 o'clock from Wild Eagle Saloon, powered by Tito's Vodka. But, of course, the highlight of the weekend.
Soda, two limes.
Soda, two limes?
Yes. Keep the calories low.
Okay. Well, you're already getting no gluten.
That's right. No gluten. Got to keep my carbs low. You know, I got to watch my figure as I'm on TV every Sunday.
That's
Dog
right.
Pound Report, 11:30. Myself, this week.
This week.
Dustin Fox will join me.
Give Foxy our best.
Yeah, Foxy, because no Zagura, no Ken Carmen available, now, no Gribbs.
Everybody's gone.
It's all right. You know what? And this is the time.
Yeah.
The players have left, and you will see, I'm sure, Riz is going to take a heavy chunk of time here in the next 6 weeks.
Hooli is.
I will be in and out. Zagura will be in and out because, you know, come July 29th, it's go time.
That's right. No rest
it
for the weary.
No
then.
Rest. And I'm not taking a Disney cruise this year, so I don't get that that Christmas time extra couple days.
Oh, no cruise this year.
No cruise this year.
So you'll be here.
I will be here for Christmas.
For all, you know, 17, we can get your analysis.
I'm gonna be a busy man. I'm gonna be a busy man.
Well, you are, because I mean you got the TV thing going now.
Yeah, and I mean Saturdays with Buckeye Game Day.
That's right.
And Channel 5 with. What did we call it? Scarlet Saturdays.
Scarlet Saturdays.
I'll be doing the pregame television for the Browns as well.
Right.
Trying to jump on the network, working with Jason Gibbs and Andy Roth to jump on the network for that last hour leading up to the pregame. Be doing the postgame with Phelps.
Oh, nice.
Busy man.
Busy man.
I know my Browns.
So I mean, are you going away? Are you going to go like go away? I mean, because I know Zagura has been
I'm going back to the to God's country, to San Diego, next Wednesday through Monday.
I've never been to San Diego. I've always wanted to go there.
I'm going Wednesday through Monday, then I'm back for a while, and then I'm actually from the 1st through the 9th will be my large chunk vacation. And we're actually going up to the northern portion of Maine to see my wife's father, you know, where they live and enjoy that, Presque Isle, Maine. And then we're going to come down, do Bar Harbor, which is, you know, whale watching.
Yes.
And then we're going to make our way into Boston. We're going to do, we're going to see a game at Fenway Park.
Nice.
We're going to do the aquarium.
You ever been to Fenway?
No.
Fenway's
awesome.
I've
seen it, but never been inside it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're going to do Boston. And so we're going to do a little East Coast trip.
Nice.
Yeah. Stay in the USA.
Nice. Well, again, tonight is the NBA Finals. Tomorrow is the wedding of the year. You know, forget about whatever the Kardashians do or anything like that. The wedding of the year.
I've got a countdown in my house.
Yeah.
So it's about to go off.
The producer of this show, Jason Gibbs, will be getting married tomorrow. It is going to be an event to end all events. So I'm sure we'll let everybody know
names,
about Monday.
No names please on Monday.
Yes. No names please on
Photos.
Monday.
I'm glad I'm not on Twitter because I don't want anybody posting anything of me on Facebook or Twitter.
No kidding. I'm leaving my phone at home tomorrow. All right. That'll do it for us. Great stuff today.
Thank you.
Matt, we'll talk, I'll hear from you Monday.
Absolutely.
Eric Williams, our producer. Thank you very much. Easy. The Golden Boys are coming up next. I'll talk to you at 5 on the Bruce Hooley
Show.
Go Cavs! Go Cavs!
Win it. Tie it up.